So, Alan, after looking back at these 10,000 years, what are your conclusions?
If one looks back over 10,000 years and thinks about the history of mankind, one is faced with mixed feelings. On the one hand, human history seems totally insignificant. If you take the whole of the history of this planet as Mount Annapurna, 26,000 feet, the history of mankind is the last half inch of snow on the top of this mountain. And the history of the Industrial Revolution and the period which most of us know about is a snowflake on the top of Mount Annapurna in time. So it seems totally insignificant. And yet, in a curious way, that one snowflake settling on the top of this mountain has the potential and is already completely changing, modifying, and may subsequently destroy the whole mountain. So man's history is both insignificant and deeply significant. That's one reflection one has from this long process about the future. Historians are very careful about projecting, and it's only guesswork. But in the long history we've looked at, it looks as if there have been three main phases so far. One is the long period of hunting and gathering. Most of that half inch is hunting and gathering. Just the last tiny bit is anything else. Then humankind went into a period of settled agriculture with animals and plants. That was most of civilization as we know it. And then we had this very short burst of industrial civilization. Now, in some curious ways, you can say that not much has changed, because we started as hunters and gatherers. We went through a temporary phase of 5,000, 10,000 years of agriculture, and we're now hunters and gatherers again. Hunters and gatherers in a different kind of economy, but just like hunters and gatherers, we skim the surface, not of plants and animals, but of the products of machinery and power. And so our social systems are curiously similar to hunters and gatherers. We have very small families, we move around a lot, we are fairly egalitarian, at least in our hopes and aspirations. And so one often is reminded of a group of desert hunters and gatherers when one looks at a great city like Chicago or London. So not much has changed in one sense, and even our kinship system is named after a hunter-gatherer group. But in another sense, everything has changed, because we are hunters and gatherers in a different world. And this leads one to wonder where we as hunter and gatherers are heading. What has revolutionized our world over the last 50 years is that the slow speed of evolution, the slow speed which created the Himalayas by the intersection of two tectonic plates pushing it up, is very slow, and human history has been very slow. The evolution of mankind and other species is very slow. But suddenly, it's been speeded up with the discovery of DNA and the ability to speed up our own evolution. It looks as if the 21st century will see, possibly, the evolution of a new species out of our species. Our species is Homo sapiens, and I often think we might call the new species Homo artificialis, artificial man, who will be created by ourselves. There will be some of the old Homo sapiens left, as there were with the Neanderthals, but a new species. Well, what would that new species look like? Well, firstly, it would have modified its own gene structure through selective breeding and selective tinkering with the genome. And secondly, it might have adapted some of the very sophisticated machines which it's creating into its own system. You already have artificial hearts, you might have artificial ear implants so you can understand different languages and so on. Basically, we will shift from being a product of slow evolution to something which modifies ourselves with machines and new genes. And so that snowflake on the top here will be replaced with another snowflake, and that has immense implications for everything on this globe. A second thing that occurs to you is that we tend to think, looking backwards, that everything was inevitable. But if you trace the history from the beginning forwards, you see how chancy it all was, a whole set of accidents. It's as if the snow was falling on the mountain and some settled and some didn't settle. So it's been a process of random variations, and then a few things have been selected out and kept. And history, particularly in the last thousands of years, you can see that it's a whole lot of chances which have come together, and there was no necessity. It might well not have happened. In fact, most people thought it wouldn't happen, and yet here we are with the modern world. So those are the two things one thinks of immediately.
So in terms of the future, and looking back at the past in terms of what we can learn, what are your predictions?
If I were asked what I predicted about the future from having studied the last 10,000 years of history, I would be very cautious because most predictions are wrong. But two kinds of guesses could be made. One is that really mankind hasn't changed very much. Nearly all of his history, or her history, has been hunting and gathering. And that's not just the first very long period of hunting and gathering, but after having gone through the agricultural period, which was most of civilized history, just the last 200 years of industrial civilization in many ways is a return to hunting and gathering. If you look even at a great city like Chicago or London or Tokyo, you'll find that people act and look like hunters and gatherers in many ways. They rush around, skimming off, not off nature now, but off machinery, the surpluses. They don't have to work with their bodies in the hard way that agricultural peoples had to work. Their kinship systems are usually very contracted. And indeed, the terminology for the kinship system of America and Europe is taken from a hunting-gathering group. They marry on the impulse of love. They don't have much inequality. And so you have a sort of social structure and a way of life which, although it is technologically much more sophisticated, reminds one very much of desert hunters and gatherers. So in some ways it's been a sandwich history with the bread at the beginning and the bread at the end, hunting and gathering. So not much has changed, and our basic nature hasn't changed much in the last 100,000 years as far as we can see. But in another way you can say that everything has changed. And that's because the first 100,000 years of Homo sapiens has been a very slow evolutionary process, just like these mountains forming over hundreds of millions of years, being pushed up by great forces. So humankind has been pushed by the great forces of evolution, which work very slowly. But mankind has evolved slowly, him or herself, but through the manipulation of other species, he or she has domesticated animals and plants and modified their genetic systems. And that has been the history of the development of agriculture. And then he or she has modified their machinery and made the Industrial Revolution. What makes one think that we may now be at a great turning point is that in the last 50 years, having, as many think, selfishly manipulated every species on this earth to our advantage, turned them into our own slaves, suddenly we've turned this process on ourselves. We now have turned the mirror of evolutionary adaptation on ourselves. And we are modifying our own genetic structures through the discovery of DNA. So we can speed up our own evolution, select what we want. And so from Homo sapiens, there may be developing very soon, if not already, a new species which will replace us as we replace the Neanderthals, a species which I call Homo artificialis, artificial man. That is that it's made. Artifacts means to construct. It's constructed mankind. We construct it, we reconstruct ourselves in a new image. We make ourselves into more intelligent, healthier, whatever we like, kind of beings. But we're no longer the product of unguided evolution as Homo sapiens was. And we also construct ourselves in another way because the development of artificial intelligence and thinking machines means that we can reconstruct our most human asset, which is the mind, and we can not only perhaps externally have computers, but in the future you might have computer implants, chips to translate languages or whatever in your mind. We already have artificial hearts and artificial limbs. So we may become a hybrid species between machine and mankind, and have modified our genome so much that in another 10,000 years, when someone sits here looking at the Himalayas, which will probably be unchanged, it'll be a very different kind of person sitting here and saying a very different kind of thing. The story of the Garden of Eden and the loss of innocence is often taken to be the story of the loss of hunting and gathering. Adam and Eve picked the plants, picked the fruits off the trees, and lived a simple life without raiment and so on. And that was the life of hunters and gatherers. The fall of man, many people believe, is this long period when you had to work harder to gain a living. And so, in many ways, the superabundance that machinery produces for at least a few parts of the world is in some ways a return for those fortunate few to a sort of Eden. Can we do that again?